Join me in prayer. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. David came to Nob, to the priest Ahimelech. Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to the priest Ahimelech, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'No one must know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place.' Now then, what have you at hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here." The priest answered David, "I have no ordinary bread at hand, only holy bread, provided that the young men have kept themselves from women." David answered the priest, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is a common journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread. There was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord, to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Our second reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anybody but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to him, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tiffany, for that scripture reading, and thank you to the band for bringing us a bit of the spirit of last night's barbecue and bluegrass into worship today as well. Great to be back with you this morning. Well, just over 50 years ago now, the year after I was born, July 20th, 1969, the astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin prepared for an extraordinary moment in human history. The pair were about to be the first people to ever set foot on the surface of the moon. Now, Buzz Aldrin, one of those two astronauts that would actually land on the moon, had prepared for this event by bringing a couple items with him from his church. Long before he blasted off on the Apollo 11 mission, Aldrin had met with the Reverend Dean Woodruff at the Webster Presbyterian Church in Webster, Texas. Aldrin was a ruling elder at the time at his Presbyterian congregation. Aldrin felt the moment that he and Neil Armstrong would actually be setting foot on the moon would be about so much more than just electronics and computers and rockets. He wanted some way to honor it, to show respect for what was happening, to celebrate the awe and the wonder of it all. The pair agreed that Aldrin should take communion. That would be a great ritual to do there on the moon. And so Reverend Woodruff gave Aldrin a piece of communion bread and a little wine and a tiny silver chalice, and Aldrin brought those items with him. Among those few items each astronaut was allowed to carry. And after the lunar capsule had set down on the surface of the moon, and shortly before Neil Armstrong gave the signal to Aldrin to follow him and step down onto the ladder and finally onto the surface of the moon, Aldrin opened up this little plastic package that contained the bread and the wine. He poured the wine into the chalice, and since, as you know, the gravity on the moon is only 1/6 of what it is on the earth. He watched as the wine curled up one side of the cup, and he thought to himself, this is the first liquid that's ever being poured on the moon. He looked at the bread and thought, this is the first bread that will ever be eaten on the moon. Before taking the elements, he silently read the passage from John 15 where Jesus says to his followers, I am the vine, you are the branches. Together with people who were listening in, he invited a time of silence and in solidarity and spiritual connection with his congregation in Webster, Texas. He then took the elements and then he stepped down from the spacecraft onto the moon's surface. Celebrating communion on the moon. On one hand, you could say it celebrated the spiritual presence of Christ in that place and at that moment. Imagine gazing out onto the lunar, from that lunar landscape, realizing that while you finally landed on another planetary body, it's really only one planetary body in this incredible galaxy. You're just stepping into one small part of this extraordinary galaxy and whole series of star systems. And as you are struck by how vast the universe truly is, you might recall how the very author of all things, not just of the earth, but of the moon and all stars, came to be with us in Jesus Christ and was there with Buzz Aldrin in that lunar spacecraft. There, we believe, by the power of the Holy Spirit. There on the moon, in that spacecraft, and in Aldrin, was what I would call the bread of the presence. A reminder of the spiritual presence of Christ on the earth and beyond the earth, even there on the moon, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there is another way, too, that celebrating communion there on the moon seems to me especially fitting and appropriate. It marked how the presence of God at work in the universe brings not just spiritual nourishment, reminding Aldrin and all of us of the invisible presence of God with us, but celebrating communion pointed to the physical nourishment God provides for our bodies, including Aldrin's body pictured here. The moon could not possibly feed them or give them drink. Armstrong and Aldrin could not create food or drink for themselves. They depended there on the moon, as they depended in their life on earth, on what God provided by sending rain, by watering the earth, by providing nourishment, sending sunlight, and giving the earth its resources. Celebrating communion there on the moon, it was a powerful reminder not only that God's spiritual presence was there on the moon, but God's provision shown in creation was there with them also. It was like Buzz Aldrin could taste and see God's sacred work feeding the hungry. That work was extending out from the earth into the galaxy, celebrating communion on the moon. It was a sign that God's presence and gracious work was not confined to one single space, not even to the planet Earth, but extended out into the galaxy. In today's passage from 1 Samuel, we see a growing recognition that God's presence, while it could be known in a profound way in one specific place, was also not something confined to just one specific place. The sacred presence of God, the sacred provision of God, might be vividly on display in one spot, like a temple or a sanctuary. But the God who created all things, the God at work reconciling all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ, was far greater than what could be encompassed in one space or captured in a few objects like an ark or like a loaf of bread. For years, as they wandered in the wilderness, God's people were instructed in the Mosaic Law to build a tabernacle. The idea was that an elaborately decorated tent, especially on the inside, would mark or could mark a specific place in the life of God's people as sacred space, set apart space, holy space. It would be a powerful reminder for them that the presence of a holy God whose ways were so beyond our ways had nevertheless drawn near to speak to Moses in a burning bush, to liberate a people that had known enslavement in Egypt and walk with them through the wilderness. Along with the Ark of the Covenant, one of the items that was to be kept in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle was the bread of the presence, also known as the showbread. According to the book of Leviticus, the priest was to place 12 freshly baked loaves or cakes in two rows on a table in the tabernacle. And then every week on the Sabbath, the priest was to put fresh cakes on the table. At that time, the priest could take the prior week's cakes and eat them himself, but it was only the priest who was to eat the cakes, and only in that most holy of places, the tabernacle, or later called the temple. When the ancient Hebrew people ended their wilderness journey and took up a more permanent residence, the tabernacle, or tent of meeting, received a more long-standing home in Shiloh. And it was called the temple. Later, it would be located in Jerusalem. But at the time of today's passage in 1 David chapter 21, it appears to have gotten moved to Nob, for that's where the priest Ahimelech is living and where the bread of the presence could be found back in David's time. David, we read in today's text, approaches Ahimelech, the priest, while David was on the run from Saul. Saul was king of Israel at that time and felt threatened by David, so was going after him. So at the time of today's passage, David was a fugitive, a refugee fleeing for his life and in need, as refugees are, of provision and of hospitality. He asks Ahimelech for food and shelter. Ahimelech, when he first approaches David, is terrified. He surely wondered why David was coming alone, for a commander in Saul's army, as David was before he fled. Why would such a person come alone? It made Ahimelech afraid of what this could mean. David says to Ahimelech, he means no harm. He's on a sacred mission, he says, which is a lie. And he asked the priest for bread, or secret mission, and that wasn't true. The priest says the only bread he has is the bread of the presence, the bread of the presence. And then something remarkable happens in today's text. We see this bread that previously was housed in this most sacred of spaces, the tabernacle, and could only be eaten by a person set apart, marked, ordained for the special purpose of caring for the temple, the priest. We see how the bread of the presence moves beyond that confinement and heads into new terrain. We see as it goes out first to David and to David's men. David would be a powerful vessel of God's work in the world. But we also see in a more basic way how that bread of the presence goes out to feed the hungry, to feed specifically a group of refugees. Yes, the high priest asks for David's assurance that he and his men have maintained a kind of ritual purity, that they had observed a period of abstention from sex. But that's a far looser boundary than what Leviticus originally prescribed in the law of Moses. Jesus, when he speaks of this moment, will note that David did what was not lawful to do. What he ate the bread that only the priest was to eat by taking that bread of the presence that Ahimelech gave to David and his men to eat. In 1 Samuel 21, God's holy presence and work was visibly going out beyond just the temple into people like David, who was not the high priest, and into those ordinary but powerful spaces where the hungry are fed and the refugee is given support. The bread of the presence goes out into that kind of work and into those places. Jesus points back to the story from 1 Samuel as he defends the actions of his disciples. You will remember that the disciples were walking with Jesus on the Sabbath, and they took grain and ate it from the grain fields as they walked. And then the Pharisees accused Jesus and the disciples. They asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" That is, eating, doing work where they are gathering grain on the Sabbath day. And Jesus responds to that. He responds that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus reminds the Pharisees how David and his companions went beyond the Mosaic law in eating the bread of the presence. The work of God, Jesus proclaimed, was at work, not just in the priest and the temple, but in David, in the feeding the hungry, and then in him, in the Son of Man, in the human one, the one who was Lord of the Sabbath. God was at work in new ways in the time of David, moving out from the temple into David's reign and into that sacred work of feeding the hungry, feeding the one fleeing. In the time of Jesus, God's sacred work would go out further still into Christ in his ministry of healing the sick, saving the lost, feeding the hungry, as Jesus did by the thousands distributing bread and fish, inviting his disciples to see that it was shared with all. Yes, God can be powerfully at work in places and people marked as sacred, in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the priest who was ordained to a special role officiating at the temple. But God's presence and work goes beyond that. It went beyond that first in David, and then it went beyond that in Christ out into the world to do the work of love, justice, and mercy, to lift up the downtrodden, to feed hungry mouths, and to fill hungry souls with the bread of life, to fill all the earth with the stuff of heaven. There's something wonderful and sacred about spaces like this one. I still remember the first Sunday after those long days of quarantine when we were finally able to gather here, and it brought tears to my eyes to walk in this space again, this space we as a community have marked as sacred, this space we come to gather and worship, this space where if you're joining us live streaming, we want to show you through the cameras. We want to bring you into this space so you too can observe this time from your homes and have it marked as sacred, that this space and the visuals around you can remind you wherever you are that this hour is a time to contemplate the things of God, to hear God's word spoken, and together to give that God worship and praise, to look to sacred things. It helps to have a sacred space like this. But I think there's something sacred too about some 200 people gathering right outside these doors, out on the lawn for barbecue and bluegrass, receiving plates full of food at a great feast prepared by Rich Yee, our master chef, and members of his family, and Tiffany Ashworth and Amy Marmol, and so many of you who helped make that possible. There's something wonderful to eating that pie that Mary Ann baked and that I didn't get to eat because everyone else ate it first. I don't know if you heard, but Mary Ann Thompson won the pie baking contest yet again. Some of you may need to prepare now. Maybe the feasting wasn't in this sanctuary. But God is not confined to this or any sanctuary, tabernacle, or temple. God is in the homes where you might be joining us for the live streams. God is at work in wonderful ways by the power of the Holy Spirit out in the world. And there is something sacred, something God-filled about the hungry being fed. Isn't there something sacred about it, something sacred about sack lunches that our youth and volunteers pack for Union Station, or the food that's distributed to the hungry over at Pasadena City College's Lancer Food Pantry, which was housed here at Knox during the height of the pandemic. There's something of God's presence and work in the world when the hungry are fed. I love the quote from Gandhi, where he writes, "There are people in the world so hungry that God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread. There are people in the world so hungry God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread." So out where the hungry are fed in God's name, that is sacred space too, isn't it? Back in David's time, in Jesus' time, as he distributed loaves and fishes, and in our time. So friends, as we celebrate communion today, I hope we can recall not just the presence of God here, but out there too. You'll be receiving the elements outside, as we've been doing since re-entering our sanctuary during COVID-19. And one of the nice things about receiving the elements as you leave, as you step outside, is it reminds us that God's presence doesn't just stay here with us now. It goes out with us. It goes before us. It is out there at work already. It's out there when we engage in ordinary activities like work and caring for family members, and cooking, and cleaning. Out there where we might not have reminders all around us of God's work in the world in Jesus Christ, as we do here with the cross and here with the chalice and the plate and the bread, but God's love and provision is still out there with us and at work in a profound way when the hungry are fed. The same God we worship here is at work all the way to the moon and beyond. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.